Perry White, a shy, friendless teenage girl who was sheltered by her domineering religious mother, unleashes her telekinetic powers after being humiliated by her classmates at her senior prom. Whether by corsages or curses, one thing's for sure, Perry knows how to deliver a prom you'll never forget. Buckle up as we dissect the fiery fallout and explosive adolescence of the 1976 classic, Perry.
It's the night of the senior prom. The Bates High School gym is alive with excitement. Everybody is there, even Carrie White, the girl no one likes.
We're all sorry about this incident, Cassie.
It's Carrie!
The girl with the strange power.
If I concentrate hard enough, I can move things.
But tonight, no one will laugh at Carrie.
If you don't have a date for the prom next Friday, would you like to go with me?
She's with the best-looking boy in the senior class.
He's trying to trick me again.
Starring Sissy Spacek, Piper Laurie, and introducing John Travolta in his first motion picture role. If you have a taste for terror, you have a date with Carrie.
Welcome, horror nerds, to this week's episode of Chamber of Chills. I'm Cameron.
And I'm Adam.
And today we are covering the bloody mess that is this 1976 classic.
Ha-ha.
Carrie.
Carrie.
Joining me today is Mr. Mongo... Inside joke. Anyways.
My boy here?
My boy here.
You think you can take him to a fight?
You guys have seen that video. Just look it up.
Oh, okay.
Anyways, all right. Well, let's just go right into it.
Let's do it.
Starting with our film details. This film brings us to our number 31st best horror film of all time.
Yeah, crazy.
Continuing along this journey, and we're getting in there.
Yeah.
This is like 20 episodes now.
We're about to be in the 20s, which is pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
As soon as we pass number 25, I don't know what I'm going to do.
I'll probably quit.
Yeah, probably
that's,
be
that's
done.
That's the end of the line. As I've said twice already, this film came out in 1976, and it is classified as a horror mystery. It is rated R, directed by Brian De Palma, who also directed Scarface, Mission Impossible, and The Untouchables.
Oh.
Really random.
Very
yeah,
interesting.
Especially Scarface, I was not expecting to see on there.
No, me neither. That's crazy.
Writers on the film, we have Lawrence D. Cohen and Stephen King himself.
Yep.
The man, the myth, the legend. Star cast members, we have Sissy Spacek as Carrie, Piper Laurie as Carrie's mother, Margaret White, and then Amy Irving as Sue Snell. Honorable mentions, though. We have the good old John Travolta in here
so
playing
weird.
Billy Nolan. And recent Chamber of Chills actress Betty Buckley, who plays Mrs. Collins. She was also the therapist in Split. She's much older there. So,
wow.
Fun
That's
fact
crazy.
For you.
That is a fun little fact.
As far as the Academy goes, this film was nominated for 2 Oscars, Best Actress in a Leading Role for Sissy Spacek, and Best Actress in a Supporting Role for Laurie Piper, who, again, plays her mom. Ratings for the film, we have 7.4 out of 10 on IMDb, a whopping 93% on Rotten Tomatoes, and 3.8 out of 5 on Letterboxd.
Hmm.
And then for financials on the film, the budget was approximately $1.8 million, which today is equivalent to about $9.8 million. And at the global box office, it made $33.8 million, which today is about $185 million.
Wow.
And then filming took approximately 50 days.
Hmm.
That's a little background on the film for you.
Very interesting. I did actually not know that it got nominated for 2 Oscars.
I didn't either until I looked that up, and I was kind of surprised just because it doesn't seem like an Oscar-heavy movie. But
no.
Yeah. you know, well, obviously we liked the movie, but it's, you know, kind of surprised by that one. So,
well, you know, I think I told you this. I did not, this is the first time I saw this. Which I saw the remake of it whenever it came out.
Yeah, Chloe Grace Moretz.
Yeah, but I never saw the original until this.
Well, we're about to dissect it.
We're
about to talk about this one. Speaking of.
Shall I?
This is your shall moment.
Summarize All right. Give a little film summary for you guys who have no idea what this movie's about.
Carrie revolves around Carrie White, a shy and withdrawn teenage girl who lives with her domineering and religiously fanatic mother in a small town. At school, Carrie is an outcast, frequently bullied by her peers. The story reaches a turning point when Carrie experiences her first menstruation in the girls' locker room and is tormented by her classmates. This traumatic event awakens her telekinetic powers, a formidable ability to move or manipulate objects with her mind. As she begins to understand and harness these powers, the bullying escalates to a cruel prank at the senior prom. When Carrie is humiliatingly drenched in pig's blood in front of her peers, her anger and humiliation trigger a horrific display of her telekinetic strength. Carrie's revenge is catastrophic, unleashing chaos and destruction upon the school and her tormentors. The film culminates in a final heart-rending confrontation between Carrie and her mother, ending in tragedy. De Palma's film is noted for its striking use of split-screen techniques to heighten the dramatic tension and visual horror of Carrie's revenge. Sissy Spacek's portrayal of Carrie brought the character to life with a deeply sympathetic and haunting performance, making Carrie a standout film in the horror genre and a poignant exploration of adolescent anguish and wrath.
Boom.
Boom.
I just rewatched all of it.
That was your little summary.
That was perfect.
Got you guys.
Well, now that we've Gavin. Now that we've given you a little bit of a background on the movie, I guess we can talk about some of the logistics.
Yes. Let's break this.
It's what you're here for. You want to see us break it down.
Yeah. We're going to go through our favorite scenes and what classifies a good horror film.
Yep.
Which this one is really hard.
Yeah, for sure.
To dissect.
Yeah.
Breaking down classic films in general.
Yeah.
Is hard because you can't necessarily compare it to films today. And you have to take the lens of this is a classic for a reason.
Yeah.
And trying to, I don't know.
That's just interesting. I said the same thing later in the screenplay part, but
Yeah.
We're on the same page.
Yeah.
Look at us.
Overall though, dude, I forgot how much Carrie just goes through it.
Yeah.
Holy
it's rough.
Crap.
And I see a lot of people talking about that. Like, you just want to go through the screen and just prevent it from happening.
This poor girl.
Yeah, she gets, it's dirty. Yeah. Not only does her home life suck, but then the girls are really pretty brutal.
She's just living the worst life.
Yeah. Yeah, poor Carrie. Justice for Carrie.
Justice for Carrie, yeah. Well, favorite scenes.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely the opening shower scene.
Yeah, loved that. I love seeing supposed high school girls. Wild choice.
This was a joke.
Yeah, 100%. It's kind of
gross
that they did that.
We talked about this. As soon as the film started, Cameron and I were like, what?
It's just already you have just several. Obviously, the actresses they hired are
not.
They're not
teenagers.
Obviously, yeah. I love how we're so delicately trying to lay this out.
I know.
But not only do you just have because they're having towel fights just fully nude, head to toe. But you have that paired with the fact that they're supposed to be high schoolers and it just feels really uncomfortable.
And it's just there's 30 girls just nude and you're
tons of them. Yeah. You might have wanted to consult a woman on that one. But
not sure.
Yeah.
The necessity there.
Yeah, not my favorite, but if it's yours, I totally respect it.
My first real one.
Yeah.
This isn't really a scene, but when the coach just straight up slaps Chris in the face during PE.
Yeah, that was ballsy.
That was just amazing. I was not expecting that.
Yeah.
You don't really see that nowadays,
Well, I thought about that. If that happened today, teacher's getting fired. It's going viral on TikTok.
Yeah.
There's nothing you could do about that one. But
basically, Chris, who's the main antagonist,
bully.
She is mouthing off to the PE teacher who's punching them for being terrible to Carrie in the locker room. And she just straight up walks up to Chris and slaps her in the face.
Puts her in her place.
So
she's got that dog in her.
She got that dog in her. Yeah.
My first one is when we first see Carrie go home. So Carrie and the mom, their first interaction.
Okay.
First of all, I like the house. I think they dressed that really well. So props to the production design. But I really enjoyed seeing the dynamic there because it's just so intense because Carrie obviously, you know, discovers what her time of the month is.
Yep.
She didn't know what it was, so she thought she was dying, and it was this whole thing. And so the staff, you know, calls her mom and tells her what happened. And the mom somehow like translates that to like she's got a sinful nature and she needs to like repent. And like, and so yeah. Carrie's trying to tell her mom, like, I didn't do anything wrong. But the mom's just like hitting her in the face with like a Bible and trying to get her to like confess to her sins and whatever. And then she ends up dragging Carrie literally by her hair into like this closet.
Yeah.
And just like locks her in there. And yeah, it's a crazy scene, but I liked it because it's very intense from the jump. I liked the performances and it gives you a better understanding of like her situation as a whole.
Yeah.
And she does have it quite bad. So
it's brutal. Yeah. Her mom sucks.
The mom is pretty rough.
Yeah. Jumping ahead a little bit.
Ooh.
So just right into the 70s prom.
Okay, yeah.
It's just 70s prom is a vibe, you know?
Yeah, it
is. Not gonna lie.
It is.
Would love to be there.
I know. I do love like any throwback prom scene.
Yeah. No, I was like, okay, which again, I'll talk about this in the writing, but like to me, the prom is whenever I started to really feel bad for Carrie. Because yeah. like not that I didn't feel bad for her before.
Yeah.
But now she seems like before you're like, I have no idea who this girl is. She's just going through a really terrible time. Mm-hmm. At prom, you start to see glimpses of her just like, she's like a normal girl. She her just wants to be normal. Yeah, yeah. Her personality comes out and you just start to really feel bad for her. And I just thought it was nice to kind of see that come through.
100%. I totally agree. My next one is along the same lines of yours, your first one, the detention scene. Very simple. Not much happens.
Yeah.
The main reason I really liked it was actually the music that they kind of synchronized with the shots. Mm-hmm. So like arm movements and jumps and whatever, like it all like lined up with the music. And I thought that was kind of fun. It was kind of zesty, you know, like,
yeah,
I feel like especially for 1976, that wasn't, I don't know, you don't see that as often. And I thought that was kind of cool.
Yeah. My next one, because I'm already so far.
Yeah, okay, you go for it.
The build up to the pig blood spill.
Oh, yeah.
Is the biggest build I think I've ever witnessed.
It's like an hour long.
I kid you not.
It's half the run hour. No, I know what you mean. Yeah, it's long.
But the obviously that was the climax. Like you could just tell with everything that was building up to it, the shots of the bucket of pig's blood, really just everything about that. Build up the what's her face walking in, the friend,
yeah, which,
what's
Sue?
Her name? Sue,
yeah, the nice
Sue
one.
Walking in and seeing everything, and then the teacher kicking her out, and then yeah,
it so was just, frustrating.
It was just a good, yeah, it was but, frustrating, but building that tension was really great.
Yeah, I agree. Again, you have to put yourself in the shoes of like someone seeing that in theaters in the 70s. It was probably like, oh no, yeah, like, what's gonna happen? My next one is the second interaction between Carrie and the mom. Because again, we get this very intense interaction at like the kitchen table. And the tables kind of turn though, because Carrie is telling the mom about this prom. And her mom is like, you're not going. She's like, yes, I am. And this is kind of when Carrie first demonstrates her abilities to her mom,
mm-hmm.
who obviously takes that and thinks she's demonic and like a witch. I like this scene for a few reasons, though. I liked the lightning storm at the kitchen table. It's very cliche.
Yeah.
But because it was made almost 50 years ago, it's not as basic. But it definitely added through like the sights and the sounds. Kind of reminded me of the argument scene in Pearl when she's arguing with her mom at the kitchen table because there's that like big lightning storm. See
it. Yeah.
I thought that was kind of a fun little connection.
Yeah. And then the big like tapestry or whatever on the wall.
Totally. Yeah. Performances were once again very fun for me to watch. I liked that whole interaction. And what's funny is I didn't like, I guess think about it at the time, but I just loved any scene with the two of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just, it's interesting to hear that they were nominated for Oscars because I didn't think that when I watched it. Like I don't walk away like that was an Oscar worthy, you know, performance.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, I guess I did like those scenes the most typically. So I don't know.
Yeah.
What's your next one?
My next one is actually my last one.
I have one more too.
Carrie's Revenge
slash
the climax slash the outro. It's just interesting because you rarely ever are rooting for the person killing everyone.
Yeah.
But you're just like, freaking go for it, Carrie. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's crazy. It's
phenomenal. And since we already jumped there, we can just tag team this one because this is my last one as well. But like for 1976, it's an acid trip. Like,
yeah.
They utilize these split screens. There's like this harsh red lighting, lots of blood. It's just like, and she is just killing everybody. And Sissy Spacek like does such a great job with her eyes, like just looking like this monstrosity that's going to just destroy anybody in her path. Mm-hmm. And she's doing that. So
she acts the stark contrast between being this innocent, pretty girl to now covered in blood and killing everyone like so well.
Nobody's stopping her.
Yeah.
Like everybody is screwed in that moment.
0 to 100 derived from this movie. So
yeah, it was really, really good.
Yeah. Concept. Definitely iconic for a reason.
Yeah.
You can tell, in my opinion, it was written as a novel first.
Totally.
But just a sad, poor girl who wreaks havoc on everyone for ruining her life is quite the revenge story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, can you imagine pitching this to anybody?
Totally. I mean, it's so out there. But this is Stephen King. I mean, homie has written about cosmic turtles and murderous cars. So like,
in
the grand scheme of things, it's not too crazy, but it's definitely like, I guess, if you think about it amongst other concepts, it is quite unique.
Because
especially when you throw in the telekinesis and like,
you're like, so okay, random. I was imagining how the pitch goes. So hear me out. Okay. So there's this girl, she's getting bullied. Okay. It's her time of the month. She doesn't know what that means. Her mom is this religious crazy girl who thinks that she's like a spawn of Satan because she bleeds, you know? And then she just gets bullied and bullied, and then they drop pig blood on her, and then boom, she just kills everyone.
Yeah.
Thoughts?
Prom night bloodbath. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But somehow doesn't feel too crazy when you're watching it, which is kind of respectable.
Yeah.
It feels like, I'm in this, and this is what's happening.
It's like, but, heck yeah, that was supposed to happen.
Yeah, you go, girl. We're in your corner. Can you just imagine being there, though? Because, like, surely... Like, I like to think if I was there in that moment, I wouldn't laugh. But she's killing everyone there. So, like, what would I do?
I don't know.
You just try to hide somewhere?
Well, if you're there, you're going to die.
I guess, the place is burning down. Like, the doors are locked and it's burning down.
Whenever she killed her teacher, I was like,
dude, that was kind of surprising.
Yeah. Nobody's safe.
Yeah.
Even if you were nice to Carrie.
Yeah, the teacher, like, protected her the whole movie, just gets a basketball goal to the stomach. Literally. Like, it's, when you say it that way, it sounds crazy, but that's literally what happens.
So. Yeah. It was wild.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Director's touch.
Okay. Hot and cold.
Yeah.
Because he does have a very stylistic and like innovative approach to the film. And I respect that.
Yeah.
However, he also utilizes certain imagery that I don't love. But
yeah,
I've balled that up and thrown it into the change chamber later. I know.
There's a lot that we'll discuss regarding him. But yeah. Before we get into that, I actually really enjoyed the split screen effects.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, there are a few choices I thought were very interesting.
Yeah.
A lot of direction just felt incredibly random.
Yeah.
I get it's 70s horror.
One immediately popped in my head.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Yeah. I know. But I was saying, I get it's 70s horror and it's an adaptation, but it felt like the adaptation was missing a lot of little pieces.
Yeah.
That made it feel a little bit more sporadic.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like, okay, this is obviously a novel first because it was like, you can't fit the whole novel.
A little, sporadic all over the place. I get that.
But we'll go more into that and change.
We're coming for you, De Palma. What do you think about the acting?
Sissy Spacek actually did really well.
She did great. That's a great casting for that character.
Yeah.
Because she was like the look and she pulled it off. It was great.
Yeah. Everything else to me, it just felt very melodramatic, right? Mm-hmm. So like it was either supposed to be really cheesy or they were just bad actors, in my opinion.
That's fair.
And that was like, but I mean, it's a 70s horror film. So again, like I take it with a grain of salt, but it was kind of reminiscent to Friday the 13th.
Totally.
You know what I mean? Yes. Like that vibe.
I was just thinking that and that like, that's what's so hard to figure out is if that was like the time or was it just bad or was it like intentionally? Like it's so confusing because sometimes like line delivery is like who, like how did nobody on set be like, no, let's run that one back. Like that was really rough, but it happens all the time.
I know.
So I was also kind of thrown through a loop. I don't know how to think about that one.
Yeah. But they made it really hard to dissect.
Totally. I totally agree. I think Sissy Spacek does a really good job. I thought Amy Irving, she was Sue, I think. She did okay.
Yeah.
One, if I have to pick on anybody, I didn't love William Catt, who plays Tommy, the like popular boyfriend guy. Mm-hmm. He just like, you know, he did his best. But
that was the kind of casting that was like, hey, we have this pretty boy.
Dude, that hair was crazy.
You want to just be in this film?
Yeah,
and
honestly.
He's like, sure.
Yeah, sign me up. This dude had like straight up Goldilocks hair though.
Oh, yeah.
Like it was long, but curl, like super curly and like golden blonde.
I know.
I've never seen anything like it. It was really interesting.
That was crazy.
Anyways.
But then he dies to a bucket.
That
was crazy.
It's a terrible way to go.
I know. Screenplay.
So this is where, yeah, the difference in just eras, it's just hard.
If you enjoyed cheesy classic horror,
yeah,
then this is like right up your alley.
If you love a couple of golly gee type dialogue, then like this is for you. But there was like a few parts that were good, so it's possible. Like I liked, and I wrote down when the mom is like at the end talking about Carrie's dad and how she like struggled with that temptation and staying pure. And she talks about like the whiskey on his breath. Like that was to me, like I really enjoyed that part.
Yeah.
But then you do have like really dumb moments. And there's one that I have to point out because I thought it was so silly.
Dude, I wonder if we put the same one.
I don't know. It's at the very end. Sue's mom. So Sue survived. She's the only one who survives the entire night.
Yeah.
Her mom's on the phone with somebody and she's like, I don't know if she's referring to the therapist or something, they say she's young enough so that she'll forget all about it with time.
Yes.
I was like, she's not five. Like, dude, this is like an 18-year-old girl who just watched another girl kill everyone with her mind.
Literally, I said the exact same thing.
What was that?
I wrote the line down. There were two lines I wrote down because I was just like, what?
It was so dumb.
One was what you just said. She said she's young enough to forget about stuff like this. And I said, oh, you mean the 17-year-old wouldn't remember her entire class getting absolutely destroyed by a girl with telekinetic powers?
Give her some time. She'll forget about it. Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And then the other one was at the very beginning. And I'm pretty sure it was Chris.
Oh, no.
And she said, eat shit, Carrie. To Carrie after she missed a volleyball hit.
That's right. They take it so seriously.
She misses a volleyball hit. And Chris just goes, eat shit, Carrie.
I totally forgot.
And
about
I was
that.
Like, what?
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
Crazy.
Well, and she's like another one that just fell out of place, but like she's the same character doing something for John Travolta on her knees. I'll leave it at that. But she says, she like is talking to him through it, which is really weird in the first place. But then she like says, like, I hate Carrie White. It's like, what? This timing is so off.
And John Travolta's like, yeah.
He's like, yeah. Yeah, it was
weird.
I mean, it was rough. I described it as like time-capsuled dialogue. Like this writing would not fit in a film today.
No.
At all. But
no.
There were some highlighted moments that were okay, but overall I was like, man, yeah. I don't know about this. But you also have main characters who are named like Tommy and Sue. And so it's a very dated film. Yeah. So
I know.
Can't blame them too much.
The score.
I actually really enjoyed the music in this film.
It was really, really dramatic.
Very dramatic.
In a good way.
Yeah.
I think, you know.
I think it like garnished the tension pretty well. And the main theme is pretty good.
Yeah.
It's kind of like romantic, but also like depressing. I don't know. It like,
yeah.
Which kind of captures Carrie's odyssey in this movie. But yeah, I liked all the music. So.
Which I have a fun fact about the music I'll get into later.
I like fun facts.
Cinematography, artistic choices.
For sure.
There were a few long takes that I actually really liked.
Oh, were
there? Was like one, I'd say long takes. They weren't very long, but there was one that was like a dolly shot in the gym that showed the bucket of pig blood and then zoomed in to Carrie sitting down.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that was cool. That was fun. And then, of course, the split screen shooting.
Yeah. The split screen is fun just because he's... Just because you don't, I am just not used to that. I don't see that in movies very often.
No.
And I'm surprised too or maybe I shouldn't be surprised. Maybe it should be the opposite, that I'm not surprised it happened in the 70s. But it feels random, but for some reason it like kind of works because you see Carrie, like on the right, you'll see Carrie's face like close up, and on the left, it's like someone getting strangled by a water hose or something.
Yeah.
So you kind of get multiple perspectives, but
yeah.
The only time where, what's it called? I know Jordan Peele uses it a lot, not a lot, but like it's like a, where you can focus on two different people from mm-hmm. two different, dang it, I looked this up earlier, split diopter. Split something. It's like a lens.
That sounds...
It doesn't matter. I don't need to look this up.
It sounds right.
But yeah, where you focus on two subjects at two different distances at the same time.
Yep.
It's kind of fun to see, but it also sometimes can feel like bizarre. Like it shows Tommy at one point, then like Carrie's in the background. And I was like, is this like green screen or like what's going on?
But, well, it's not like they did it a couple times. I mean, they did it a lot in this film too.
Yeah, for sure. So some innovative thinking back there.
Yeah, fun. Overall impact.
It's a classic. I can kind of see why. Stephen King wrote a very unique story, and taking it to the silver screen successfully, you know, it's destined to leave an impact on pop culture. I think it's a good film, deserves to be celebrated, but obviously some things that I would change.
Yeah.
So
there, I found a quote that I thought put it really well. For those of us who didn't live through the 70s, it's easy to forget that Halloween didn't show up until 2 years later. Carrie was one of the first films to look to high school for guidance in crafting the greatest horror a generation had ever seen. Which wow. is very interesting.
That's a great point.
So like now it's easy to look at it and be like, what in the world is this? Why is this yeah. film a classic? But like for its time, thinking it came before Halloween and before these like high the school pioneer. Horrors. Yeah. And it pioneered a new generation of horror. So I was like, I see okay. why it's classic.
That, yeah, but, some light bulbs are going
but
off.
But to me, that is more conceptually driven rather than like the actual film.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
That's from a concept standpoint, which is, you know, that's Stephen King.
Yeah,
so
totally.
But yeah. Wow,
okay, that's a great quote. Did you write it?
I did not write
it. I have a great quote from myself. No, that's great. I think that kind of like, I mean, that makes total sense.
Yeah. Do we hear the owls? Do we?
I can always hear them.
Time for some little facts for you. There were actually some really interesting facts.
Heck yeah. I freaking love a good fact for us.
I know. So
I feel like last week's could have been better. So I'm ready for hey, 2 weeks ago.
Well, I'm guns blazing.
Let's freaking do it. I'm saddled.
Carrie was Stephen King's first published book. Did wow. you know that?
I did not know. I don't know what I would have guessed, but it... That's interesting.
Yeah. This okay. was his first published book and first movie.
Wow.
When Sissy Spacek was preparing for her character, she isolated herself from the rest of the ensemble, decorated her dressing room with heavy religious iconography, and studied Gustav Dore's illustrated Bible. She studied the body language of people being stoned for their sins, starting or ending every scene in one of those positions.
Oh my gosh.
So she committed.
I feel like that's also pretty rare for that time.
I know.
Like that kind of getting, it's not like method. I guess it is kind of method.
It kind of is, yeah.
I mean, she's putting herself in that headspace.
Yeah, which I guess apparently, I didn't write this down, but apparently she told the rest of the cast, like, I'm not going to see you while we film pretty much. Wow. But I'm excited to celebrate after the film.
That's so weird. I know. I mean, it paid off because, I mean, she pulls it off really yeah. well.
So... Nancy Allen claims she never realized her character was going to be so evil until she saw the finished film. She thought she and John Travolta were playing such self-centered, bickering morons that they were there for comic relief. Piper Laurie also thought the character of Margaret White was so over the top that the film had to be a black comedy.
That is crazy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Zero's Bark was probably just in there.
Hey.
But yeah, so apparently Piper Laurie still... claims that the movie is a black comedy today.
No way.
Yeah. She still refers to it as black comedy.
I mean, her character does feel so...
overdramatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I could see how... For the character of Chris, though, that actress... I mean, you're I know, pretty I was brutal like, I don't in that know. One. How you're, you think you're just a comedy.
Yeah.
Hmm.
But interesting.
We should rewatch it through the lens of it being a comedy.
Yeah, I know.
And there were a few moments that had me chuckling.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That maybe shouldn't have had us chuckling.
Yeah, probably not.
While speaking at a book event in Fort Myers, Florida in 2010, Stephen King recalled that he was paid just $2,500 for the movie rights to Carrie, which may seem like a pittance, but he has no regrets. I was fortunate to have that happen to my first book, King said.
Dude, that's how much I make per episode on here. That's crazy.
That's crazy.
No, that is crazy though. $2,500 for
$2,500
film rights?
Yeah, and he got nominated for 2 Oscars.
Wow.
So that's crazy.
I mean, it's not like this was his one shot though. I mean, how many film adaptations?
This like launched his
career. Yeah, there's so many Stephen King films. So, wow, that's cool.
I know. The name of the high school is Bates High, a reference to Norman Bates from Psycho. In addition, the 4-note violin theme from Psycho is used over and over in the film.
I was going to say, they freaking stole that. I wrote that in my notes. I was like, what the heck? That's from Psycho.
It's but literally, yeah.
It must have been, I mean, allowed. So.
So I guess they were just wanted to pay homage.
Interesting.
While filming the bloody prom sequence, Sissy Spacek's trailer was parked behind the set. After being covered in fake blood for continuity purposes, Spacek refused to wash the effect off. She elected instead to sleep in her bloody clothes for 3 days of filming.
Okay, Sissy needed counseling during this film. That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, what, like...
I know.
That's one thing I thought about, and I always do this in films. If somebody gets covered in something, some kind of muck, yeah. I'm like... That would be tough for me because I would just want to wash it off immediately.
But she was like, no, I'm not going to shower for 3 days.
She was committed.
I know.
Respect to Sissy.
I know. Crazy. The ending of the movie is different than the ending from the novel. And in fact, Stephen King liked the ending in the movie better than the ending of his own book.
Wow. He reversed The Shining on him.
Yeah. He reversed The Shining.
Holy crap.
Crazy.
Wait, I wonder how it ends. Did you ever find out how it ends in the book?
She ends up not dying at her house or something. She dies like in the street or something. I don't know. Something weird.
Yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know. It was weird. The prom scene took over 2 weeks to shoot and required a total of 35 takes.
Wow.
Yeah.
I feel like that'd be kind of a fun scene to shoot.
Yeah. So many effects.
There's so much going on.
And yeah, there's a lot going on. The freaking fire hose.
The fire hose.
I know. In a 2010 interview with the AV Club, PJ Souls said that Steven Spielberg often came to the set at Brian De Palma's invitation because De Palma told him that there were a lot of cute girls down here. Souls said that Spielberg asked out most of the women on the set, Souls included, and Amy Irving was the only one who accepted. Irving and Spielberg were married from 1985 to 1989 and had a son together.
What?
Is that not
that is
crazy?
A fun fact, but it's weird.
That's so crazy.
I just like, oh, that's so bizarre.
Also, it feels a little weird that a director invites another director
on the basis of
cute girls. Hey, there are cute girls on this set.
Yeah, that feels a little
and
weird.
You're shooting a nude scene in a locker room. I don't know.
Yeah,
that felt weird.
That felt, yeah, there's, you can't put your finger on it, but it feels a little weird.
I know.
Interesting.
Sissy Spacek filmed the scene in the locker room shower without any of the other actresses on the set. Many of the girls present in the locker room were originally hesitant to appear nude in the film, but after Brian De Palma showed them the nude shots of Sissy Spacek, they became more confident.
I'm like flabbergasted.
I don't understand this.
This
okay,
is
so
such
they,
an interesting process.
So they were like uncomfortable, which I don't know how that conversation came about.
Yeah.
And then
he had
like,
to like
hey,
convince them.
Watch this nude shot we already got of Sissy.
Yeah, you've got to do it now.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't know.
I know. That's weird.
If they didn't want to do it, then like.
Don't freaking make them do it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's bizarre.
I know.
Because you didn't need to have all of that.
Yeah.
Which I feel like we keep saying in films when there's any nudity, and I will back my point up. I don't mind nudity when it's purposeful, but when it's like literally just girls having towel fights fully nude from head to toe.
And it's supposed to be a high school locker room.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, you didn't need that.
I know. All right. This next one is very interesting.
Oh my gosh. They've already been like, these are crazy.
It's crazy. George Lucas and Brian De Palma held a joint audition for Carrie in Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, 1977. There is a long-standing rumor that originally Sissy Spacek was cast as Princess Leia and Carrie Fisher as Carrie. But when Fisher refused to appear in nude scenes and Spacek was willing to do them, they switched parts. However,
Fisher refuted this story in a Premiere magazine article called "The Force Wasn't With Them," about actors who auditioned unsuccessfully for Star Wars Episode IV, A New Hope. The article quoted Fisher as saying, "Not only do I love being nude, I would have been nude then. But anyway, it's total bullshit that Fisher refused to play Carrie."
Wow. How?
I don't...
Did this film... Like, we're talking here in the Fact Force about George Lucas, Steven Spielberg... How?
I don't know.
How are they connected? That's crazy.
So weird. A joint audition too for Star Wars and Carrie?
Yeah, like what is the goal here?
Wild.
That's so bizarre. I respect Carrie's response though. Carrie Fisher's always kind of been a badass.
I know, she's awesome.
I'm not surprised that she said that.
That was sick. Yeah.
Kind of a clapback.
When the fire hose is sprayed at PJ Soul's character, the water pressure actually bursts the actress' eardrums. Souls was not actually unconscious when her head rolled to the side from the force of the fire hose, but she was in terrible pain and had lost ability to maintain equilibrium, which is governed by the ear. Brian De Palma decided to keep the shot in. Souls had no hearing in that ear for about 6 months afterward, though the eardrum did eventually heal.
I don't know anything about this Brian De Palma guy. He seems kind of like a douchebag.
Kind of freaking terrible.
He's just down to get the shot and then...
He's like, actually, yeah, we're going to keep that in.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. I mean, if she was cool with it and it's like, it worked out, then like, I don't see a problem with that. But like,
I'd be pissed if I was the actor.
Yeah. Like, ugh, golly. Yeah, I don't know.
I know.
Had to be a way around that.
Yep. All right. Last one. Betty Buckley's terrified look on the face right before she gets killed is real, since they hadn't been able to test the falling backboard.
You've got to be kidding me.
To make sure it would stop where it was supposed to before hitting her, and no one knew for certain whether it would work.
This is some BS. Justice for the Carrie cast, dude.
Freaking crazy.
No one tested?
No. Like, just... They were like, let's hope it works.
Golly, dude. They probably used the real take if it did kill her. That's terrible.
Golly.
Good Lord.
I know.
That set is crazy.
Yeah.
I'd be freaking scared too.
I know.
I'm not going to be able to get that out of my head. That's crazy.
So I told you the facts are freaking crazy in this one.
Some of the best, I would say.
Well.
Okay. I'm like sizzling after that one. Well, moving on to our next segment.
Mishap Mountain.
Mishap Mountain, baby. I saw a few.
Yeah.
I wrote down, not wrote down, but two of them that I did notice just to give myself some credibility. But some of the other ones, they're interesting, but.
Take it away.
When the blood falls on Carrie, it really only hits the left side of her hair and her shoulders. And following shots, she is soaked in blood.
Yep.
That's pretty classic.
Yep.
This one I did notice, and I was surprised that they didn't try to reshoot this scene. But at the end of the movie, when Carrie pulls her mother into the closet after she has died, you can see the mother's feet moving under her nightgown. She's like walking backwards and it's like totally noticeable.
That's so funny.
And then lastly, Stephen King's name is spelled Stephen with a V, King, in the trailer.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of interesting because he literally wrote it and they didn't get his name right.
I know.
But those were the three that I chose for this episode.
Yep.
What do you got?
No, that was it. That's pretty much everything. I guess there was one more. After Carrie is covered in blood, her crown disappears between shots.
Mm, yeah, some continuity errors there.
Yeah, but I know the Steven misspelling thing.
It's pretty rough.
It's crazy. It's like, to me.
Give the guy some credit. Come on.
Come on. Can you imagine writing the book and you see it in credits? Steven with the V, not PH. Like,
so frustrating.
Come on.
Like, yeah, if I saw it.
They put like Alan instead of Adam. That'd be terrible. Like, oh my goodness.
Well,
all right. Well, we made it to the change chamber.
Yep.
Is there anything that doesn't make any sense?
For sure. For sure.
Look, okay. I get this is a classic. But holy crap. There were some, I already said, some randomness.
Yes.
In this film. The weird fast talking scene where it's like, just this happens once in the film. Out of nowhere, their dialogue is sped up.
For like 5 seconds.
For like 5 seconds.
And it's the only time in the film it happens.
And literally Cameron and I just looked at each other like...
I genuinely thought it was like an error with like the streaming service. Like maybe HBO Max had it wrong Maybe there's some glitch. No, that's actually the scene in the film. That's like gotta be one of the worst post-production decisions of all time.
I agree.
There with like Superman's CGI mouth in the Justice League. Like, it's terrible.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it. And then, I mean, there were other shots that I was just like, again, this goes back to like the sporadicness of it. Like the shot of the mom cutting carrots.
I wrote the same thing.
I was just,
just
like,
for the sake of showing how crazy she is.
She's so crazy. Look at her cut these carrots.
She's chopping up carrots.
I was like, what am I watching right now?
It was really, yeah. I heard you let out like a little, you know. It's like, I totally agree. Yeah, that was a little rough. I did not write this one. I actually saw this, but I thought it was worth mentioning because I didn't think about this, but this is such a great point. So Chris, the bully, is trying to convince Billy, John Travolta, to help her prank Carrie at the same time that Sue is trying to convince Tommy to take Carrie to the prom. But at this point, Chris has no way of knowing that Carrie is going to the prom.
Yeah.
So it's totally for the sake of the plot, you know.
She's yeah, it doesn't just make assuming, any sense.
But
she's assuming Carrie's somehow going to get like, to the prom.
I was like, okay, that's a good point. And yeah, they're going to rig it so she becomes, yeah.
Yeah.
That was a little too convenient.
Totally. The fact that your main reasoning for wanting to sabotage a girl is because you had consequences for originally sabotaging her is a wild incentive.
She did literally nothing to you.
No. It was a crazy incentive to me, that goes back to the writing.
Totally.
But I was like,
there needed to be some.
There's got
to
be more.
Yeah. It feels kind of silly. This one's kind of a nitpick. But so when the bullies are like trying to execute this plan, you have this like nerdy prom coordinator kid. He just like rolls over when this goofy dude walks up and he's like, hey, I want to be in charge of the ballots because he wants to rig it, obviously. But like the nerdy dude. It's just like, oh yeah, sure. How did he just let that happen?
Yeah.
Like he's got to know that there's something going on there, but
there's
just
no
felt
system.
Way too, again, convenient, but
it was very convenient. Okay. This is probably just cause I'm stupid. Are Tommy and Sue a couple?
Yeah.
Okay. So I don't understand why Tommy kissed Carrie.
Dude,
at the prom.
Wrote the exact same thing.
Because I was like, okay, first of all, his girlfriend wants him to take another girl.
Yes.
To be nice. But then
he's like
actually
trying to get her to fall in love with him, basically.
They're like dancing and then he kisses her. I was like, what?
I thought that was really weird. However, the only thing that I saw, because I wrote that in my notes as well. I was like, she asked him to take her to the prom, not like fall in love with her. But I guess in the book, Carrie's abilities have some effect on his mind. And so he like falls in love with her, but like, it's just, that's never explained in the film and it feels kind of dumb.
Yeah.
I just don't feel like that was necessary, but yeah, he was like straight up. I mean, he was risen it up.
I know.
So
yeah,
what can you do?
Also, why was he such a douche to her whenever she said she liked his poem in the class?
Oh, I know. Yeah. His reaction was like, really weird.
I don't know. It was just weird. Yeah. Why was Carrie's mom hiding behind the door when she got home? That didn't make any
sense.
And
then she waited for her to take a bath before she like attacked.
And then she comes out and then she does. It's not like she just like surprise attacks her either. She like,
she has like her little,
her monologue.
Yeah.
I know. That was so weird.
I agree.
And then also I put at the end, no way is her mom still standing like that after she gets killed.
Yeah.
Like the knives are holding her up in the wall.
Totally. Yeah, there's no way her... I thought about that as well. It's totally just for that imagery.
It was just to symbolize that. Yeah.
I didn't... So for like 2 seconds when the blood falls on Carrie, Miss Collins, who has defended Carrie no matter what, there's a shot of her for like 2 seconds like
laughing.
Trying not to laugh. Or yeah, she is like essentially laughing. And I was like, that doesn't make sense for her character. Because like the entire time she's just defending Carrie like hardcore.
Yeah.
Looking after Carrie, like would do anything for Carrie. Carrie gets blood dumped all over in this horrific moment. And she's like trying not to laugh. It's like, well, dude, that just didn't make sense to me. I feel like that was inconsistent with who we saw previously.
Totally.
And then, yeah, just adding to the prolonged discovery of the bucket above Carrie's head. It does feel like a really long time. And Sue just doesn't say anything in that moment to like Carrie or her boyfriend. She like, and then when she does try, then the gym teacher like drags her out. But I was like, that took forever.
I know.
Totally not necessary.
But. Yeah. Is there anything we'd change about the film?
See, Poppy.
There are a few things. Number one, the locker scene.
Totally. That was my first one as well.
Take it out.
Yep.
And allude to the fact that it's Carrie's time of the month.
You totally could have just alluded. There was no point.
It was just not necessary. Yeah.
It felt like certain shots literally felt like I was watching porn because like there's literally like not only do you have the naked girls, then the next shot is Carrie, Sissy Spacek, in the shower and it's like in slow motion and it's just her rubbing her body like it's close up.
Yeah.
Water trickling over her. Like
why? Like,
what is, this is weird. Like it who filmed this?
So out of place.
But like, yeah, they just like, I don't know, lost control. Or like, yeah, keep going. This is rough. Did not like it.
It was crazy. My next one, she kills Chris, the main antagonist, in like half a second.
Yeah, 100% agree.
At least, come on, like let her suffer a little bit.
I would have made it a lot more elaborate. I actually remember in the 2013 remake, Chris dies a little, I don't want to say better. Can't die better, but like it's a more satisfying, you know, because she sucks so badly. She like her face like slowly goes through the windshield and it like the glass like cuts into her face and everything. And it's pretty graphic, but I like that more than the car flips over and blows up in this like, yeah, crazy Transformers explosion. Okay. So my next one is touchy and it can be subjective for sure. But the film obviously weaves Christianity throughout the story. There are a few things that I didn't like, but then one thing that I would backtracked on a little bit. I still don't love it, but it's not as bad. So they altered a lot of the religious images to be scarier. So like the mom has this banner that depicts the Last Supper. And I noticed like all the eyes are like darkened or like contoured to like look more evil or ominous.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can get the point across that she is hyper-religious without like defacing these like Christian, you know, images. But I can't blame them if this is obviously a secular film with secular filmmakers, you know, you're probably just, let's make this a little creepier. And the movie is over the top. So I don't completely, but then there's like that statue in the closet, which I'm an idiot. I just thought in some denomination was Jesus, but I did think the arrows were interesting, but it's not, it's a statue of Saint Sebastian.
Yeah.
Who's like a Christian martyr, but that obviously plays into the end with the mom's, you know, the way she poses when she's dead. But I don't know. It just like some of it felt like a little over the top. Like you didn't need to like drag it that much. You could have included the Christianity part of it. Cause trust me, like hyper-religious people, they're some crazy ones out there. So you could have depicted that without like also dragging down the faith itself. Cause it's not necessarily the faith. It's the person wielding the faith.
I know. And like I know a big part of it was like the mom was like twisting scripture, you know?
Totally.
And that's why she was so freaking crazy. But like,
Yeah,
it was weird that there were like images that were also like aided her craziness.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
But that's kind of a nitpick. Just something I thought about.
Yeah. Casting.
I think Sissy, I already mentioned this earlier.
Yeah.
Which her name is so funny.
I know.
Saying it over and over again feels weird. It's like Taylor Swift's new song, the like, what's the daddy one? We joked about it this weekend.
Yes.
I don't like saying it because I don't like saying
but daddy. I love him.
But daddy, yeah. We need an abbreviation for that one. But Sissy Spacek, I think, is perfect casting for this.
Yeah.
I actually think John Travolta kind of fits that like douchey boyfriend well, but
he totally does.
It really just, I think some of the problems were more with writing and line delivery than casting for most of it.
It's wild to me that it was Travolta's first big film.
Yeah, it is crazy. But it happens. I mean, so many people get their start in these random horror movies.
Well, I mean, like Kevin Bacon in Friday the 13th.
Kevin Bacon, Jennifer Aniston, she was in The Leprechaun. That's how she got her.
That's
like,
right.
Yeah, lots of random ones.
So random. I will say I'm not opposed to an alternate universe where Carrie Fisher is cast as Carrie.
That would have been sick.
That would have been awesome.
Although,
Sissy killed it, so I'm not, you know.
Yeah, Carrie Fisher, though, I feel like she's like maybe too pretty for the role. It's like what people complain about with Andrew Garfield playing Spider-Man. Like, no one's bullying that guy because he's He's a stud.
And he's like tall.
Carrie Fisher's beautiful, but I mean, she totally could have pulled that off.
Yeah.
I agree. I think that would have been fun to watch.
Yeah. More fun.
Yeah.
Least favorite part of the film?
For me, it's got to be that. I know it's so small, but that speeding up bit.
Yeah.
It's horrific. Like, burn it, destroy it. Terrible choice.
That was just the worst choice ever.
So it feels like an error. Like, it feels like that made the final cut and someone was like, oh shoot.
Oh my gosh,
I forgot to change that. It's so random.
Overall, I said the choppiness and randomness of the whole film. And that included.
Totally.
It just didn't feel cohesive to me.
Yeah. I think that's fair.
So yeah, that was my least favorite.
Totally fair. Title of the film/movie poster.
I think Carrie's fitting.
I like the name.
Yeah.
And like the name fits, you know, maybe because it's been around for so long and it's a classic, but to me, you just like can't explain it. It just feels right.
Yeah.
I think the poster is cool. I like that they use the split screen. It looks very old Hollywood, but as usual, I don't like excessive, you know, taglines, especially when it literally says in like big gold letters, if you've got a taste for terror, take Carrie to the prom. That's the best you could come up with.
Which I don't understand this, okay? Because that was IMDb's version. I looked at Letterboxd version and theirs was a more simple version.
Ooh, okay.
So it doesn't have the tagline. It looks so much better.
I'm looking
it just
up
looks
right
more
now.
Clean. So I like the movie poster on Letterboxd.
Letterboxd is way better.
Yeah. Having the split image of her as a sweetie and then her looking like a freaking monster. Yeah. It is fun. There is another version though. Whenever I looked on Google, it was the one that came up. And it's like this animated picture of her covered in blood or whatever.
Really?
And it's just like a close-up of her face. Like takes up the whole poster. I actually really like that one. And it feels more classic to me.
Was it like this one?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that.
I think that one's fun.
That looks pretty cool. And like the butcher knife and the shadow. And like, yeah, that looks really good.
I don't know why there's 18 different versions.
I know.
IMDb always has the worst version.
Yeah. This is a good idea. This is good for future reference. Maybe go around and compare different posters from different sources.
Yeah. Worst name for the film title. I only have two this time.
I have two as well.
Hey.
We'll fire back and forth.
Yeah.
My first one is the menstruation murders. It all could have been avoided if her mom just freaking told her. But number one, what's your number one?
You know, what's funny is we both went on the alliteration.
Heck
mine
yeah.
was Menstrual Mayhem. Oh, so,
heck yeah. Look at us.
Look at us. The Menstrual Boys.
My next one's just, if they ever wanted to do a holiday special, you could have gone with some Mary Carey.
Oh.
That's all I got.
That's good. That's good stuff.
Yeah. Just rhyming. That's all I do.
No, I like that. Mary Carey. My last one, Winnie the Pooh, Piglet Goes to Prom.
What? Please explain this connection. Winnie the Pooh?
It's really terrible because the pig's blood is in the bucket.
Oh my gosh. That's fair. That's fair.
But yeah, not my best.
You reached for that one.
I really reached.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. All right. Hot takes Holly. It's sizzling.
It's sizzling today.
Dude, the reviews were freaking polar opposite.
Totally.
It was crazy.
Yeah. I actually was really, probably like, I just really agreed with one of them, but
yeah,
we'll get into it.
All right. Favorite reviews, starting with their 10 star, kicks off.
So it's slightly longer, but I feel like this guy and I should go get coffee because like he just kind of, which he also offered a really interesting take on the locker room scene, which I don't entirely agree with. So don't tie me to that one.
Okay.
But he said, this is Z Naist. The opening in the girls' locker room, I am still conflicted. On the one hand, it feels uncomfortably male-gazy how all the naked girls are having towel fights and so forth. On the other hand, the way Carrie's shock over her first period is portrayed makes the contrast to that idealization of the female body all the more effective. That would be my only real criticism. That and the tux fitting. What is that scene even? I agree.
Yeah.
Fortunately, Stephen King's small-scale story stays intact. De Palma only spices it up with dynamic camera work as well as his signature split diopters. Oh, there it is. Every now and again, I find myself so wrapped up in the character relations, I was almost surprised whenever I was reminded of the supernatural elements. The accompanying music strings are quite the reminder, although I can't think of another movie that is this confident at building suspense. The actual prom night takes up almost half of the running time. You could argue that Piper Laurie, who plays Carrie's mom, acts tonally outside of the rest of the movie. I, for one, really like her manic intensity, although I am perfectly aware of the part that Sue and Tommy play in the story. The ambiguity in the portrayal of their actions is really unnerving. Then there's Nancy Allen with her potty mouth. What's not to love about her performance? I guess I don't agree with that one either. Her constantly pushing around bimbo John Travolta is just the icing on the cake. Sissy Spacek, of course, gives a horror performance for the ages. So he kind of touched on a lot of different things. Mainly saved this one because he had an interesting take on the locker room scene.
That is really interesting.
He said it's like a good contrast. And I think if I sat and squinted and looked at it upside down, maybe I could see where he's coming from, but I don't think I...
You're like trying to juxtapose the idealistic view of female body with the menstruation.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So...
Well, I agree with a lot of what he said.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting.
It was a great review.
I appreciate the passion.
I put 3 from Letterboxd just real quick.
Okay.
First one from Tanwin. She was so real for that. Next one from Justin. Some of the finest and smoothest, the most sensible directing I've ever seen in a horror film. The opening sequence in the locker room is simply incredible. The slow motion, the prom tracking shot, the spinning shot, the split screen, the freaking score, everything just works miraculously. This, in a lot of ways, reminds me of the first time watching the original Halloween.
Wow.
Big reveal.
High praise right there.
High praise. Okay. My last one from Brett. This is why I don't want a traditional girlfriend.
That's a good point.
So that's a really good point there, Brett. Thank you for that insight. Moving into our 1 stars.
Okay. I think this is just one of the most random unhinged reviews I've read in a while. It made 0 sense.
Okay.
This comes from Beckett 100. He said, came in with candy, heart emoji, for my cat, in parentheses. Jelly beans are disgusting. So ridiculous.
What is happening?
Jelly beans are disgusting, but I hate Halloween movie night without them. After going to the pub and burgers with Odd and watched the end 15 minutes with Helen and Kate, and I say that is all I need to ever watch from this movie again, that is enough. I don't even know. I read that so many times trying to understand what they were trying to tell us.
Is this person okay?
I think they went to a pub and they brought jelly beans after to watch this movie with some friends, but they didn't like it. And they have a cat. I don't know.
And they only watched the last 15 minutes and
it's
that was enough?
So all over the... I also love how they refer to like a horror movie as a Halloween movie. Like just any horror movie, just a Halloween movie.
That's funny. Well, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Beckett.
Beckett.
For that one.
I have 4 quick ones.
Bet.
Elias, Letterboxd, abolish prisons, but also lock all these men up for writing and directing that pedophilic shower scene.
Yeah, fair enough.
I don't know what they mean by abolish prisons.
Yeah, that's interesting as well.
Okay.
You just had to throw that one in there.
Next one from Double X. Possibly the most distasteful film I've ever seen. Dispiriting and exploitative for no reason.
Wow.
The next one, I didn't credit this person. The spooky bit at the end is clever and humorous enough to earn it a 0.5-star.
The spooky bit.
Spooky bit.
You mean the entire climax of the film?
Yep. Jake Wollen, this movie is a bad depiction of this wonderful story. There are more shots of naked women's bodies than actual plot points.
Oh, wow.
That was big.
So a lot of people attack. I saw that too. A lot of people attack the excessive nudity.
Yeah. Oh, and then, the Mr. Scumbag movies. There's a scene where the main mean girl is convincing her boyfriend to carry out the attack on our protagonist and her head is basically in his lap. And if she's doing what I think she's doing, her voice shouldn't be that clear.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that was the 1 star.
Very true.
Anyway.
Well, anyway, moving on. This is probably I just realized, is this the oldest movie we've watched so far?
So far. Yeah. 1976.
Wow. Look at us. Okay. And then I'm trying to, this one's definitely the most nudity centric, I think.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Probably.
Knocked out 2 birds with 1 stone on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have any hot takes about the film?
as a standalone film.
Oh no.
It is not that good.
But the legacy lives on.
It felt like it had potential to be really, really great.
Yeah.
I just can't get past the choppiness and the randomness. Like, to me, that makes a film good.
Yeah.
But it was edgy for its time and conceptually belongs as a classic. And I wonder how many films made today we would say that about in like 30 to 40 years. Yeah. Like, it's just not, it doesn't stand the test of time.
Yeah. I think that's a good point.
But I think back to that quote I said at the beginning about how it sparked this path for great horror movies to come.
Totally.
So I have to, you know, I believe it belongs on the best 50, you know, best 50 horror films, but
for its iconic,
legacy,
you know, and legacy. What it did for horror.
But as a standalone film,
wow, I just, that is a pretty spicy one.
I know.
It's pretty spicy. Interesting. Which, speaking of self-advertisement,
yeah.
But next week, it's all about the hot takes.
Oh,
so all keep about that in mind.
Hot takes.
Send them right now. Like, just stop what you're doing and send us a hot take.
Pause the episode
for the last 10 episodes or whatever, and we're gonna talk about them. Anyways, mine's also kind of bigger. And I've said this out loud before, and I've had people get really mad at me. However, this doesn't apply as much to the film.
Okay.
But this is my chance to just speak my truth.
Oh.
I personally don't like Stephen King's writing style, which, as a horror fan, I know is crazy.
Whoa.
But hear me out. I have read some of his books, and here's what I've concluded.
Mm-hmm.
I think his mind is a work of art because he's so talented when it comes to creating a story, like coming up with something really interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. The concept is like, hits it out of the park for me. But when it comes to bringing his stories to life, that's where I don't resonate as much. And it's totally subjective because I know like he's obviously one of the most successful authors ever.
Yeah.
But that said, I've always said, I think filmmakers take his ideas and just do them better than the original, which is also, I know, I just love some of the films that have come from his writings.
Yeah.
You know, a couple in particular.
Yeah.
And I've read those books and they are just like not even close to the film.
Yeah.
I don't know if that applies here as much because Carrie does feel choppy, but I'd be interested to read it because it's his first book and see how it compares to this film. Totally. I just, as a whole, I've never been a huge Stephen King fan as an author.
Interesting.
That's my one hot take.
I feel like that is a very spicy
take. It is.
Which I can't really speak too much to that. I've only read one Stephen King book.
Really?
Which one? The Long Walk.
I haven't read that one.
Which I actually really enjoyed.
Okay. Is that like a horror novel?
Not really.
Because I know he's written some like, what do you, like just, He's written genres.
Some crazy. So like, but The Long Walk to me, it was really interesting. It was pretty much, I guess, the basis for what like Hunger Games ran with.
Oh,
but it was basically the premise is that you can enter into this long walk if you're below the age of 18 or whatever.
Yeah.
And you literally just walk with this group of people. The last person standing wins. But everyone else dies.
Interesting.
And you have like three chances to stop. And if you stop the third time for a longer period of time, you get shot. Like they like shoot you or whatever. So anyway, but if you win, you get like endless money and whatever.
Wow.
So
like, did you read it more like recently or was this like a while ago?
In the last few years. Yeah.
Okay. That sounds pretty good.
It was an interesting concept. Yeah.
I think my only thing is just like, and I don't know if you can weigh in on this and tell me if he did this in that book. So, confession, Adam and I are reading A Court of Thorns and Roses right now with our wives.
Exposing ourselves.
And we talked about this weekend, but she's very descriptive.
Yeah.
I think Stephen King does that to an extent. Like he's so descriptive that it takes forever to get from A to Z.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you could have trimmed out like so much of this.
Yeah.
Which sounds like really dumb to say, but I don't know.
Yeah.
My truth is out there now. Do with it as you will.
No, that's fair.
What's your second one?
Forgot. I already said it pretty much in the change chamber. It's just like, take out the nudity.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Any hot takes we agree or disagree with? I actually disagree with anyone saying it was the best horror film of all time and executed perfectly.
100%. Yeah.
And people say, I also disagree with people who said it was boring because they're just not true appreciators of like classic film.
No, I think it's a good movie, obviously, but I'm in the middle. Like, it sounds like you kind of are too. You're more legacy side. I do like this film, but yeah, I don't think it's by any means. It's not even close to the best horror film of all time.
No.
But it's also not the worst. No. You know? So.
Yeah.
Kind of on the same note, best Stephen King adaptation, I think, is a really hot take for people to have.
That is wild.
I respect the opinions. I just, when you consider what else is on the table, I don't think that's a possibility. But
yeah, no, I agree. Some of the hottest of all hot takes, I don't know what that would be. I did see one, though, that said, I don't know if this is the hottest of all hot takes, but somebody said it was the worst movie adaptation I've ever watched. And I was like, okay, you have Percy Jackson.
Yeah.
You have The Last Airbender, Aragorn.
That's where I'm...
Divergent series.
Yeah, I'd stick with The Last Airbender. That movie was...
Those are some of like most highly rated worst adaptations of all time. Yeah.
Good point. Good points.
Do we agree with the IMDb rating of 7.4 out of 10?
So 7.4, I'll just say it. I think it's a little too high.
Yeah.
You know, a little too high. I think, but again, considering what it did for, you know, the genre and for the time, I think I can sit at like a 7.
Okay.
It still feels high.
Yeah.
Because it's, but... I mean, because like Friday the 13th, which is another super, super scorching hot take of mine, I don't like that movie.
Yeah.
And so maybe I'm a hypocrite because they do have similar vibes. But I could sit with a 7.
Yeah. No, I dropped it to 6.8.
I was like 2.3.
I'm like 2.4 probably. No, I said 6.8. But again, I go back to like the classic.
It's a hard one to pick apart.
It's so tough doing older films.
Yeah.
It's just really hard.
It is.
Like, do you want to grade them against the test of time? Like, should they compete with films today?
Right. Yeah.
Or should they be graded on a different scale where you appreciate it for what it was at the time?
Yeah. It can be a concoction of both, I think, but it is really tough.
Yeah.
Because I thought about that several times because I'm used to just watching films around the present time, and
there's no right way to do it.
It is tough.
Chill factor. What is the best part of this film?
Prom scene forever.
Yeah, I said the iconic prom.
The prom scene is always going to be
blood spill
iconic
scene.
So it like makes the movie. I think it carries the movie.
You dog.
I love how our eyes, we both just perked up like freaking meerkats.
You dog.
But the prom scene for sure.
Yeah.
Or the shower scene.
Also, sorry, I'm like coughing nonstop.
Hey,
just like making my editing life miserable.
We all have allergy problems.
I know, man. Whew. Do we recommend this film?
I would say give it a shot. Only because it's easier for me to recommend films who don't necessarily confine themselves to like certain subgenres of horror. So like if you don't like demons and horror, you're not going to find that here, so you're safe. If you don't like over the top blood and gore, this one's safe for you too. So like it kind of checks a lot of the boxes that we can all come together and watch this type of horror film. But if you don't like older films, or you know, can't get past that, then this one's not for you.
Or
but
maybe, hey, if you want to take the approach of it's a black comedy,
you could give that a shot.
You can give it a shot
for sure.
So
that's always an option.
Where can I watch this? 'Tis free on HBO Max.
Yep. And a premium subscription for you ballers out there.
On Hulu.
On Hulu.
For you paid $80 a month for Hulu, which I've not met a single person who is doing that.
No.
No.
No shot.
Anyways, well, that wraps up Chamber of Chills number 31, top horror film of all time. Ooh. Carrie, 1976. Thank you guys for listening to our 21st episode.
Jeez.
Our next episode is, Cameron already announced it, the second Hot Takes Hallway episode. Bow, bow, bow. You know the freaking drill.
Very, very, very excited.
Every 10 episodes, we do a Hot Takes Hallway episode dedicated to submissions from our own community, you all, where we read through your hot takes on the past 10 films we've reviewed. This includes The Lost Boys, The Lighthouse, Sinister, Paranormal Activity, Talk to Me, The Ring, Aliens, Pearl, The Conjuring 2, and now Carrie.
Wow, some heaters.
Some heaters.
You know what? I'm going to leave it. I'll leave it for next week's episode.
Oh, no. What?
No, I'll leave it. I'll leave it.
Please submit your hot takes in the next 7 days.
Please. Please do it. Please.
And we will read them on the next episode.
Yep.
Feel free to DM them to us on Instagram at The Chamber of Chills or email us at podcast@thechamberofchills.com, whatever you prefer. We're going to read through all of them, crediting your name unless you'd prefer we don't. So please say that in the message if you prefer we don't. And it's going to be absolutely thrilling.
Wow.
It's going to be a party.
It's going to be a good time.
We already have actually a handful of submissions from a few of the people who submitted last time.
Oh my gosh. And those are hot takes.
I got railed at a couple of them. So yeah. I'm excited to expose myself.
Yeah, it's
it's going to be great. It's going to be fun.
I'm very excited. Are we going to try to record?
We're going to video this.
Yeah. So, well, yeah, we're always recording, but video.
We are going to video this episode, though.
Finally.
Get ready to get wrecked. And don't forget, share our podcast with your film-loving friends and join in on the community.
Hand out flyers.
Hand out your flyers.
Yell it on the streets.
Hey, maybe eventually we're going to have merch and you could buy our merch and wear it and that will tell the people...
That you listened to our podcast. To
Chamber of Chills.
I wonder how much it would cost to get a banner in New York Times Square. New York Times Square.
In the New York Times.
I blended the two.
I wonder paid an editor on the New York Times.
In the Times Square. How do we get a billboard up there?
Oh, probably just, we could dedicate all of our budget over the next 10 years $10. To one billboard in New York.
That's hilarious.
In the New York Times.
In the New York Times Square.
Okay, that's everything for today. Thank you guys for listening. We love you guys.
Bye.
Everybody is there. Even Carrie White. The girl no one likes.
We're all sorry about this incident, Cassie.
It's Carrie!